Well, I want to again welcome you out here to Christ Covenant Church. And also, I do this from time to time, but especially on this weekend, I want to welcome everybody listening online. We've got many that are out of town for July 4th week, and so you're listening to this traveling back, and we want you to know that we're praying for you, and maybe there's some of you at home that are listening, or you sent this link to someone else. We're so glad that you're tuned in as well, excited about today. And I don't know if you can sense this with me. Hopefully you can. But God has been doing some amazing things over these last several months. It's just incredible the increased health that we're experiencing here at the church and also the increased growth that's taking place. And here's what God is doing here. And this is going to be a new term for some of you. But we are a part. We are on the journey here at Christ Covenant. And it's a church revitalization. That's what's happening here at the church. And so if you're new to church culture, or maybe that's a new term for you, let me break that down simply for you. We are a church that God is breathing new life into, amen, and he's resurrecting some things, and he's doing a new work here. And really, that is one of the main reasons why my wife and I, our family, felt called from God to come here to Houston. I'm originally from Dallas. My wife is from Nevada. And when I married her, I brought her down here to Dallas and into Texas. And so she's a transplant Texan. But us coming from Dallas here to Houston, one of the big factors as we were praying and fasting was we felt like God had called us to be a part of a church revitalization, a church being brought back to life, and a church that the best days were not behind them, but in front of them, amen? And so that's what we're excited about, and that's one of the big reasons why we are here. And I go into a lot of my background and what I was a part of in Dallas in what we call Growth Track. We've had two of them so far. We'll have more to come, and really that's our onboarding process, our assimilation, and we share our story, our vision at the church, as Dante put it, heaven full and hell empty, and we go into all that in much greater detail. But my heart, and really I believe God's heart, is a church revitalization, church planning, seeing God do new things around us. And it's amazing what God has doing. So we praise God for what he's done. We've been here almost 8 months. We praise God for what he's done. But I don't know about you, but I just feel like our best days are ahead and we're just getting started, baby. That's what I feel like. And I'm excited about that, if you couldn't tell already. But specifically, I want to take just a few moments here, and this is planned, okay? So don't worry, message will be short, but I got to share this first. I want to take the next few moments here today, and I want to share for the first time some amazing opportunities that we have before us just 3 weeks from now. Now, as you may know, back this past April, I went on record, and this is on our archived messages online on our website, but back in April, I went on record sharing our new strategy for special offerings. Like, it is on record. And I made several promises to you that I will keep. And the first one is this. I promised you that this would be a church where I would teach you how to hear from God and not be moved by man. That was the first promise. I'm going to teach you how to hear from God and not be moved by man or a good presentation. The second promise I made you back in April that I will continue to keep is this, that this is going to be a church where you are not bombarded with all of these just horrifying tragedies. This happened there and this, oh, this great need here and this is constant, that this would not be that kind of place where every single week you're getting a presentation from someone else about what they need or they're going to go under. I just made you that promise. I made you that commitment that instead of that, just a couple of times a year, 2-3 times a year, we would present opportunities to you, not needs, opportunities. We would cast vision about what we could do. We would pray through things beforehand and vet things beforehand and offer you opportunities that have great kingdom impact. And so this leads me to on Sunday, July 29th, 3 weeks from now, we're going to come together to give in a legacy offering. a legacy offering, a special moment. It only happens a couple of times a year where we go above and beyond our tithe, one that sacrifice or requires great sacrifice and one that builds a legacy for future generations. Let me remind you that this year, 2018, we actually have not taken up one special offering yet, and we're already more than halfway through. We'll normally do one around Easter, but we chose not to this year, so we haven't even taken up one yet. But I want to take the next couple moments, and I want to break down the opportunities that we have before us. This legacy offering is going to focus on three areas. Number one, it's going to focus on Christ Covenant Church. Number two, it's going to focus on local missions, local outreach. And number three, international missions. And our goal, what we feel like God has spoken to us, is to raise $8,000 above and beyond our tithe on that Sunday. And there's four areas that we felt like God led us to, that we've prayed through, that we've vetted. And I want to share these with you today. Number one, we just think it would be the coolest thing ever to purchase and distribute backpacks and school supplies for Operation Backpack. I don't know if you've heard of that before. The YMCA actually started this. It was several weeks ago that I met with the directors at the YMCA, Langham Creek, across the street, our neighbors. And I sat down across them and I said this: we have a heart to pour love and resources into our city. We love our city. And I'm not even making you any promises, but I just want to ask today, I'm talking to the directors, I just want to ask, what are your greatest needs? Because I don't know if you've been around church for a little while, but a lot of times we force like what we think on other people. And I said, no, not what we think your needs are. What are your needs? And number one on their list was Operation Backpack. Here's what they do. They have people donate backpacks and school supplies. They get volunteers together and they sort and then they distribute backpacks and school supplies to needy families in our city. Isn't that amazing what they do? And so I said, okay, I wrote these things down. We'll pray about it and give any promises, but I'm excited to offer that opportunity to us. And not just to raise money to provide the backpacks and the school supplies, but also to give us a volunteer opportunity. So that's what you can see behind me on the slide if you're here in person. But on Friday, August the 17th, it will be all throughout the day. They'll have two-hour shifts. I know my family and I are definitely going to sign up for this. But not only can you sow financially into to families and children all throughout this area, but you can also help sort and distribute the backpacks yourself on that Friday. And so here very soon on our website, we'll have a registration link so you can sign up for one of those 2 hour slots. But we're just excited about that opportunity. We believe this. We believe our first responsibility is here in Houston. Number two, we want to help end Bible poverty by funding Bible translation movement Illuminations. Did not say Illuminati. Do not go there. Illuminations. It's an amazing Bible translation movement, and we want to help raise money for that in our legacy offering. What's happened is many different Bible translations organizations and churches, they have joined forces together to eradicate Bible poverty. You may be wondering, what in the world is Bible poverty? It's people who do not have the Bible in the language they know best. So just think for a moment, those of us, English is our first language. Think about trying to be a Christian and not having a Bible in English. That'd be extremely difficult, and far too many people groups in the world have that problem. I want to read to you a couple of stats here. They're very alarming, but over 1 billion people, that's billion with a B, by the way, 1 billion people worldwide do not have the full Bible in the language they know best. Think about that. More than 165 million do not even have a single verse in the language that they know. So we're inviting you to participate with us and many others to help eradicate Bible poverty. I love the goal that they have. Their goal is this: by the year 2033, that 95% of the world's population would have a full Bible. Isn't that amazing? In our lifetime. Number three, The third thing that the legacy offering will go to is we have it in our hearts to send a mailer to thousands of homes around the church building here. And not just any mailer, but a mailer that would promote an amazing fall outreach series that we're going to do in September. It would promote the church, and it would effectively look to reach people that are unchurched, so people that do not go to church, people that are de-churched. Well, what in the world is that? That's somebody that at one time they were a part of a church and something happened or they perceived something to happen. And so they walked away from the church and a lot of times their faith. And it would also target people who are far from God. It'd be a series that honestly is not really for you, but it's for your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people around us who don't know Jesus. That would be the third thing that we're excited about. And then number four, the legacy offering would help accelerate the vision that we share here at Christ Covenant Church and also help create some margin for us. Well, what is the vision? The vision is this: heaven full and hell empty. Now, if you glazed over any of that, please listen up. This is really, really important. We are thrilled by those four opportunities, but I want you to know this. Please hear me clearly. We have not committed to any of those things. I want you to hear that. We have not committed to any of those projects yet. We have simply identified the opportunities, and we are ready in such a way that we could, hear that word, could invest in them if possible. To put it simply, we will move at the speed of your generosity. Now, I don't know about you, but I like being a part of a church like that. So there's no arm twisting here. There's no guilt or obligation. I'm not about to play some sad video, okay? That's not going to happen. Here's what I want you to do. You've got 3 weeks to begin to think and pray and ask God what he would have you do. That's it. Just ask God. Be bold enough to ask him, God, what would you have me do as a part of this legacy offering? And hear me. You won't hear most pastors say this, but if God tells you to sit this one out, you better sit this one out. But you got to ask him first. I want to lead you to that place. Ask God. And if you're married, talk to your spouse. And I'll say two more things and then we'll pray and get on to the message. And the first thing, I lead the church this way. It's important that you know this. I lead the church in such a way that I will never, never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. So my wife and I, our family, we will lead the way in this offering. So I want you to know that we will lead the way. And secondly, I want to read to you 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 3 through 6. This is our heart preparing for this legacy offering. Here's what God's word says. Because I have set my heart on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we just thank you for these incredible opportunities. It's what they are, incredible opportunities in front of us. Opportunities that have great kingdom impact, that affect this community, this city, this nation, this world, God, and we're excited about them. And so I just pray for each of us that we would be so bold that over the next few weeks that we would have conversation with you. And we would just ask you, Lord, what would you have us do? And whether that amount is nothing, whether that amount is small, or whether that amount is sacrificial, whatever that looks like, I pray that you would help us as a church to be obedient to you, not to a man, not to a woman, but to God. Help us to be obedient. And I just pray, God, as we get ready to jump in to your word, this series called Bulletproof Soul that we're in, I pray for each and every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that you would wreck shop inside of us. I pray, God, that any misconceptions that we have about you and your word and what this looks like to live our lives for Christ, I pray any mistakes that we've been making, any sin that's been separating us from you, we just pray that you would come in like a flood and have your way. No one is too good of a person to not need you to come in. We all need you, from the sinner to the saint and everywhere in between. We need you desperately to move and to have your way in us. May this not just be some Sunday, July the 8th, 2018, but may this be a Sunday that we're marked for eternity. May you raise up that expectation in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And if you believe it, can you say amen with me? Amen. We're in the middle of a series called Bulletproof Soul, as I just prayed. And if you want to go ahead and get ready, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1. I'll tell you where in just a second. If you were here last week, you know where we left off. And the reason why you know where we're heading if you were here last week is because we're walking through verse by verse through the book of Philippians. I've told you many times the Bible's not one book. The Bible's one book made up of 66 different books, and the book of Philippians is one of them. And it's an amazing book. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I definitely can. But maybe, just maybe, there's some people in the room, people listening right now, that you can say in your own life, I am currently... not past tense, not like I think future tense. No, no, no. I'm currently going through a mess. Like maybe there's somebody that's in that situation today. Like my life is not all rainbows and butterflies, y'all. It's not. Like I go through some mess. I've got some bad things that happen to me. Things that are even out of my control. And if that's you today, I've got great news for you. Like it's amazing news. And here it is. That God has given you a bulletproof vest for your soul as you walk through that storm. That as you go through what seems like hell on earth, God is with you through the mess. I love that God's not scared of the mess. I love that God gets in the mess with us. God does not sin. That's not what I said. But God doesn't leave us where he's at. He comes down. It's Emmanuel, God with us, what we celebrate on Christmas. And he comes down to meet us where we're at. He could have stayed in heaven. Man, I'm preaching something I didn't even plan right now. He could have stayed in heaven and sent somebody else. But he's like, no, no, no. I'm the one that's going to come. God came himself. He got down in the mud with you and with me, and he picked us up and set our feet on a rock. He's given us a bulletproof vest for our soul. So I will not tell you that mess isn't going to happen, but what I will tell you is the truth from God's word, that even in the mess, God can perform a miracle. It's what he does. You know, it was just this last week that, and many of you did probably something like this, but because of July 4th being on a Wednesday, our office was closed here, and I took off on Thursday, and we did a quick summer getaway for the July 4th week. And I know many of you have probably done that summer, maybe even still coming back from that. But for us, our getaway was very interesting because we wanted to, for the first time, head back to Dallas, where I'm from. We've been here almost 8 months, have not went back one single time since. My mom and dad live in a suburb of Dallas. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Rockwall. And so we went back to Rockwall just for a few days. It was a quick getaway. And we do what probably most of us did on some level, but we went to the pool. I don't know if you did that a couple of times in between the rain here. But we went to the pool and we went to summer movies, and that was a really, really fun time that we had this last week. And I was thinking about this, but really that's the season that we're in right now, right, in America. The summer season, getting away. Even if you're a little bit financially strapped today, you do what I've done many times, and it's called a staycation. You know what I'm talking about? So you take off, you can't afford to go anywhere but stay home, but still, it's vacation, and you relax, and you lay down the stress, at least you try to, and many of us are doing that. And so I don't know what that looks like for you, like what takes away your stress, but many people like to go to the beach. That's their thing. One of the amazing things about Houston, we have one just like an hour south of us. And so a lot of people like to go to the beach, and I'm all about that life. And others, they really like to go and do stuff that's fun for their kids or their grandkids, or maybe they're like a kid themselves, even though they're older now. And so a lot of people during the summer, they like to go to the one of the Disneys. You know what I'm talking about? They like to go see Mickey and his friends. So they'll go to Disney World on the East Coast, and they'll go to Disneyland on the West Coast. Did y'all even know that there's Disney cruises now? Like, I mean, Disney's just taking over the world. I mean, it's just crazy. And so people are about that life. And I just got to be honest with you today. I'm not about that life, but my kids are. So we've done the Disney World thing in Florida, and my son desperately wants us to go on a Disney cruise, and maybe we'll do that one day. But that's some people. But then there's others here that are listening today. Now, neither one of those are really your style. For you, you're the camper. Like, you're the outdoorsman. Like, you like to go to a national park, or maybe you like to shoot some things, right? And then, like, skin those things and then eat those things. Like, maybe that's your deal. Maybe you like to go fishing, and you know there's a reason why they don't call it catching, right? Like, you're going fishing and you're trying to catch something, and maybe that's you. And there's some people here that you love to do the national park thing, and I'm like halfway about that life. I'd like to try out glamping. I don't know if you know what that is, but glamping is glamour camping. Now, some of you just threw up in your mouth a little bit because you're so offended by me saying that. But I would like to have some Wi-Fi while I'm out by the lake. I'm just saying. And so that's just me. We're all different. Don't throw stones, please. Like, it's gonna be okay. But like, we're all different. But one national park I would love to go to. This is all a setup for this, okay? One national park that I would love to go to is the Redwood National Park. And specifically, Crater Lake in Oregon. Now, I have not been, but the pictures just themselves are awe-inspiring. If you're here in the room, show this next slide here, this picture, how beautiful that is. I mean, it's amazing, picturesque. And so I would love to go there one day. And one of the things that they have there is they have so many redwood trees. I'm just fascinated by this type of tree. I even found out there's some trees that are so massive inside that you can actually drive a minivan through them. Check out this next slide here. It's just crazy. It's crazy to me how massive these trees are. I've heard this about them, that some people consider them, and maybe this is true, but the largest living thing on earth. They're considered the tallest trees in the world, these redwood trees. I've also heard by some that they can grow up to like 300 feet tall, so 30 stories high. And not just that, but I've also heard that some of them can be over 2,500 years old. So thousands of years that they've been around, these amazingly beautiful redwood trees. So I want you to think with me for a moment. With those images in your mind, I want you to think with me just logically for a second. For something to have that much girth that you could drive a minivan through it, for something to be that tall like a skyscraper, for something to be around that long, you would think logically that their root system would go down miles or at least hundreds and hundreds of feet, right? Like, logically, something that heavy that went through that many storms, you would just think that the root system would go down hundreds and hundreds of feet. But can I tell you today that the redwood tree's root system is actually shallow? Well, how do they make it through those storms? Well, how do they survive for thousands of years? How do they grow that big? We all know it's not good to be top heavy, right? Like, how does that work? I'll tell you how. Because even though it doesn't go down far, their root system spreads out and interlocks with other redwood trees. It's powerful. Doesn't go down far, but it goes out sideways and interweaves its way through other root systems, and they interlock together. Think about thousands of years, how many storms they have to endure. Think about how much snow and rain, how much gusts of wind. Think about with me for a moment how much they go through, yet they stay standing. How? Because they're interlocked together. God designed them that way, and here's the kicker, He designed you that way too. To live life together with other people. Find me a person, Christian and non-Christian alike, that is living life by themselves, and that person is about to be defeated. It's just the truth. Even if you're here today and right now you hate Jesus. And by the way, if that's you, I want you to know that we love you and we're glad you're here. This is a place where it's okay to not be okay, a place where you can belong before you believe, okay? We're just letting you know that. So even if that's you, this is not a Christian thing. This is an everybody thing. You have to have people around you that know you and you know them. It's how God designed it. It's how he made you. And this is the idea at Philippians chapter 1, the end, and also the beginning of Philippians chapter 2. This is the idea that the Apostle Paul, the one who's writing, is trying to get across to the Philippian church, the church that he started. And by the way, the Apostle Paul is writing this book, which is really a letter. He's writing it from prison, basically about to die. So it's a prison letter more than really some book and some other book. It's a prison letter from Paul to a church that he started that he loves. And this is the idea. You've been holding your place for a while. It's Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read starting in verse 27. It's where we left off. We're going to read a lot of verses today. And I want you to look for the common thread that I've already prefaced. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We'll have it on the screen. Here's what God's word says to us. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. What a great first sentence to start on. Then whether I come, the Apostle Paul talking about himself, then whether I come and see you, who's you, the Philippian church, the church there in the city of Philippi, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. We don't like that part, do we? But it's right there. Verse 30, the last verse of the first chapter. Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Let's start chapter 2. We're going to read all the way through verse 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united, see the thread, with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. Well, how is it made complete? By being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and of mind. Remember, he's writing to the church. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, it's what I talked about earlier, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's Christmas, Jesus coming to earth, being born in a manger. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Is anybody thankful today for Jesus' death on the cross? And not just that, but he resurrected, baby, just a few days later. He's a resurrected king. Verse 9, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Come on. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Anybody believe that today? That Jesus is King? Come on, can you make a little noise in God's house today? We love you, Lord. So good, so powerful what we just read. So a lot of verses with one theme. A lot of sentences with one idea. And so if you can only write down one thing in church today, write this down. I don't have 3 points or 6 ideas or anything like that. No. This is one common thread throughout what we just read. Here it is. You already know it. United we stand, but divided we fall. That's it. It's right there. Heavy, time and time again. The Apostle Paul to the Philippian church and God to us in 2018. United we stand, but divided we fall. And what a fitting thought from God's word just a few days after the 4th of July. We celebrate our freedom. We celebrate religious freedom. We celebrate a nation under God, indivisible. United we stand, but divided we fall. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. We live in a culture that is turning the way that it believes. We live in a society that cheers, applauds unity, but lives in division. And that's for free. That wasn't even my notes, okay? But we cheer for unity. We get excited about unity, but the way that we live is all about division. And the only person in the Bible who likes division is the devil. And so when you're about division, you're on the devil's team and not on God's team. Can I get an amen? Amen. So God has called us to unity, to be united, and that's how we'll stand. We need more unity in our nation, but we also need more unity in our churches. It's the reality of the situation. You see, when we do life together, we are better, better together. When we form strong relationships at church, y'all, we become powerful. Think about a snowflake for a second. What a great thought in the summer here in Houston. Like, think about a little snowflake. I don't have scientific evidence to back this up, but I'm just going to say it, okay? In my opinion, I think the snowflake, just by itself, the single snowflake, I think it's the most fragile thing on the planet. I mean, babies will stick out their tongues and catch a snowflake, and even the helicopter parents do not freak out. Like, that's just the reality, right? Like it's okay, it's safe. One little snowflake. But isn't it amazing when one little snowflake joins forces with its friends? Talking about a snowstorm, a snow flurry, a blizzard. That's power. That's raw power when a snowflake, fragile by itself, joins together with others. And that's what God has called us to do in the church. The church can't be built on one man or one woman. It's a group of people gathering together, worshiping one God. It's how God designed it. It's how he made it. We are to live life together. And getting back to the text from God's word, this is the idea that the Apostle Paul pushes. This is the idea that you've got to let sink into your soul today. That if you are living life by yourself, and how many of you know that you can be in a crowd of people and still be alone? So I'm not talking about proximity, okay? You can be married and have 14 kids in your own reality TV show and still be alone. You can have 50 best friends and you can have 1,000 Facebook friends. But if people really know you, and do you really know people? I'm talking about real Christ-centered relationships. In fact, if you research the text that we read, if you look at the end of Philippians chapter 1 and the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible, in its original language, which is Greek here, by the way, its original language, it's all about this one idea, that all of the Christ followers, they are soulmates. Let that sink in. They're soulmates. Now, I know that's funny and it sounds weird because we think about a soulmate and we think about that person who was designed for us, right? I was trying to find my soulmate. Well, I got good news for every single person, whether you're married or not. You have many soulmates. You do. You have many soulmates, and that's the language that the Bible uses here in the original language. That Christ followers, we have one thing in common, not the color of our skin, not the amount of zeros at the end of our bank account, not the amount of friends or success or popularity. We all, as Christians, have one thing in common, and that's Jesus living on the inside of us. I've taught you good theology many times already, and I'm going to say it again. Every single Christian, when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. It's every single person that will go to heaven who's a Christ follower. That's every, it doesn't matter what denomination and background, if you go to church or not. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's our commonality. We are soulmates. It's how it works. And so we are meant to be tied together, because when we live in relationship together, we are better. It's what God wants for you, and it's what he wants for me. This is why church is a big deal. You're not just coming here because we're some like Christian club. And we sing four songs, then somebody gives an takes up an offering, and then we do it now, and then we do it. No. It's so much more than that. We are meant to be a community. I tell people all the time, I have no interest in just being a senior pastor that you see on Sunday mornings. If you want that, you're at the wrong church. I want to live life together. I want to know your kids' names, and you know my kids' names. I want you to know my strengths, but also my weaknesses. And you can name like 10 right now, because I preach about them all the time. You're laughing because you know it's true. Like, I want to know you, and you know me. And that's not something I came up with because I thought it'd be a cute idea for a church in Houston. No. It's something God has designed us with. So I want you to ask yourself today, are you in community? And if you are you in unity with that community? What unites us? Jesus. What are we all about here at Christ Covenant? Jesus. It's all about him. And if you're all about him, so am I. And let's do this thing together. It's this idea the Bible gives us. We got to fight for unity. I want to get ready to close with this. I want to give you, this is practical application. I want to give you six things, just rapid fire. We don't have slides for these. But I want to give you six things today, and I hope you'll write these down if you're taking notes. But six practical ways that you can protect our unity here at the church. Because we are united, but we must stay united. God only blesses unity, never division. Six ways here in this church, Christ Covenant, that we can protect our unity. And these are from me. Just six things here. Number one, I'm asking each of us to never say negative things about others that go to Christ's covenant. Now, some of you, that hurts when I say that, because maybe you've already done. Maybe you've already said some things. Oh, that person, man, they get a little too active in worship. That person, they got a little bit too much perfume on for my good. And who do they think they are? You know, we say these things, we think these things, but if we're going to be in unity, which is what God has called us to, we're better together, I'm asking each of you, and also myself, to never say negative things about others that go to Christ Covenant Church. Number two, got six. Number two, I'm asking us to go out of our way to celebrate others when they win, and go out of our way to celebrate when we win as a church. I get on to you all the time about this, and it's out of love, but we want to build a church here that celebrates. We don't want a church where we just sit down and we do our thing. And we want to come together and be a group of people that's rowdier than when the Astros won the World Series. I'm serious. That's what I want here, and I believe that's what God wants. Read the Bible. There's a party in heaven when one person gets saved. And we've had over 70 get saved in less than 8 months. Dante knew where I was going there. He's ready to clap. Can I get on to you just in love for a minute? Like even that, just like some of you, it was even hard to clap. Like how could you not get excited about that? If you love Jesus, you should be excited about other people loving Jesus. Well, that's not my personality. God didn't say, well, you know, if you have an extrovert personality, then you can be excited about things I'm about. Show me where it says that in the Bible, because I've read it several times and I don't see that anywhere. It's not a personality attribute. It's you saying, you know what, Jesus, what you get excited about, I'm going to be excited about. So God wants us to be a church that when someone else gets a job and you still don't have one, you celebrate them. That when someone else's kids are on fire for God and yours are so far, like different galaxy when it comes to things of God, that you would still celebrate them. That in our church, when people are saved, and in our church, when people are set free, that in our church, when addictions are healed, and in our church, when God does miracles and performs signs and wonders, that nobody, even the devil himself, couldn't hold you back from celebrating how good God is. Number three, I'm going to ask you to plug into everything that's happening here at the church. Get involved in a connect group. Get involved in that grill and lawn party. We're going to pray together as a church. We do that 2 times a year. I tell people that we pray and fast in January, and we pray and feast in August. So you don't have to even fast to be a part of this one in August. But join with us. A part of that. Plug into everything that's happening here. Number four. These are in no order, by the way. This one is paramount. Number four. Stay close to Jesus because he's the one that connects us all. We have many differences. We have much diversity. I've told you that the church should look like the city. The church should look like heaven. And in our city, the earthly analogy here, Houston is the number one most diverse city in America. So our church should be diverse. Our staff, as we grow, should be diverse. Guess what? It's going to be every ethnicity from each side of the spectrum when it comes to economic status in heaven. Like every nation will be represented, and our church should be like that. So those are differences, and those are good differences. But may we focus on what is our commonality, and that's Jesus. May we stay close to him because he connects us all. Number five, I mentioned this last week, and I didn't even plan on it, but don't become a garbage dump. Don't allow people to talk negatively, to talk trash about others to you. Change the subject. Walk away. Even address it sometimes if it's that egregious. But don't become a trash dump. And then number six, this one's so needed, but I'm asking each of us to assume the best and not the worst. One of the big changes that have happened in our culture, and you see it just like I do, doesn't matter what side, if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't matter. But one of the changes, one of the shifts in culture is this, that now people are guilty until they're proven innocent. And that's not what we were founded on. We should be innocent until proven guilty. People are assuming the worst and not the best. So I'm just asking that we would be different. I'm asking that we would assume the best in others, that we would assume the best even when they failed us 99 times. That we would try our best to see people how Jesus sees them. Amen? I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. God, I pray right now for each and every single one. God, we know it's July 8th, and we've been here or there, this celebration, that celebration. We know we're in the middle of summer, but I just pray, God, as we went deep today, simple idea, but deep to live out. And I just pray, God, that we would not be those sorts of people that would applaud and cheer unity, but yet we would live the kind of life that's flooded with division. I pray, God, when people look at this church, Christ Covenant, they would see a unified body of believers, a place with people that have been Christians for 50 plus years and a place for people that are not even believers. I pray when people look at us, they would see so much diversity, that every color, that every ethnicity, that rich and poor and middle class, that good background and bad backgrounds. I pray, God, that when people look at this church, they would see a diverse body of believers that matches our city, and more importantly than that, matches heaven. May that be us. But I also pray that even in the middle of the diversity, that people would see unity. And I can't believe it, that church, those people, this person was born here and this person was born there. They speak this language or that language. I mean, there's just so much differences, but yet they're all in on one mission, one vision. May it even dumbfound people that aren't even believers outside of the church, that they see a body of people that are on fire, all in. Jesus, we echo your heart, and that's heaven full and hell empty. You didn't create any person to go to hell. You want every single one in heaven with you, paradise. But it's our choice. May that be our mission, our vision. And I just pray right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I just pray right now that if there be anybody here in this room or listening on the road, heading back to Houston, or maybe they're at a coffee shop and they've got their earbuds in and they're doing some work, but they're also listening in. Maybe they're at the gym right now and they're on that treadmill. I just pray for every single one that right now we would all look at our lives honestly. That we would look at our relationship with you, or lack thereof, Jesus. That we would see it for what it is. You tell us clearly from your word that everybody's on two different paths. One is easy and wide, and that's to hell. And the other is long and narrow, and that's to heaven. Every single one of us, we're on one of those paths, one of those roads. And I pray today, and believers are praying in their heart and in their mind with me right now, that if there's anybody on that wrong road that leads away from you for eternity, we pray today that they would make a change. It's not about checking off those boxes that gets them to heaven and that's how they get to the other road. No, no, no. If they surrender their life to you, if they put their trust in you, you will pick them up and move them to the other path. The truth is, Jesus, you've already paid the price for our sin, for our mistakes. And we thank you for that. We know from Philippians chapter 2 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess eventually that you are Lord, because you are. But it's up to us to make that decision now before we're made to make that decision at the end of time. While we have free will, may we choose you, because you've already chosen us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and don't raise your hand if it's not you. I'm not trying to trick anybody or make an emotional thing. I'm not trying to do that. But if that's you, you just feel like you can't even almost explain it, but just God's tugging at your heart. Man, that's me. I've been on the wrong road. I've been on the wrong path. And maybe at one time you were on the right path. You moved over. Or maybe you've never surrendered your life to the Lord. And if that's you today, my prayer, my hope, the reason why we exist as a church is to tell you the good news of Jesus. We hope and we pray that you would choose him, because he's chosen you. He loves you. He cares about you. So if that's you today, no one looking but me, you're on the wrong path, the wrong road, and you want to move to the right path, the right road that leads to Jesus and to heaven. If that's you, could you raise your hand so I could see it? Thank you. You could put it down. Anybody else? God, you're so good. You put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? I see it. You can put it down. Thank you so much. God, you're so good. It's what we're about. It's why we exist. Anybody else? Put your hands down. Lord, we thank you that even in the depths of summer, you can move like this. We thank you that you transform lives. And here's what we want to do. No one's still looking. Why do you keep asking us to not look? And ever? It's because I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want anybody else to be distracted. This is personal business between them and God right now. But here's what we're going to do. We do this every single week. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I needed to explain it to you because you need to know. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I tell people all the time, it's not about saying it the right way and the right tone and then God hears you. No, no, no. It's about your heart. It's about you meaning it. It's a prayer that says, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And right now I surrender all. I'm going to make you my Lord. I'm going to make you my Savior personally. I realize today it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with you. That's all the prayer says. Things like that. And if you'll say it, confess it with your mouth, and believe it in your heart, God promises that he will save you. So those that raised their hand a moment ago in this holy moment, and also all the Christ followers, the believers in the room, as support, because we're family. What we talk about today, we are in unity together. When you hurt, I hurt. When you celebrate, I celebrate. When you have life transformation, I'm right there with you, cheering you on. So those that raise their hand and also the believers in support, right now, repeat this after me and mean it with all your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me.
I put my faith.
Come on, tell him again. I put my faith.
I put my trust
in you.
Jesus, I believe.
With all my heart.
And all my mind. And all my strength.
That you died on the cross. That you rose from the dead. And I ask you now. To forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. And I pray that you'll help me to live my life for you. Jesus, I want you to say this tenderly to him.
I surrender all.
Come on, say it again. I surrender all.
Thank you.
For saving me, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You can look at me. Love the life change that just took place. Could you stand to your feet with me all across the room? God, you're so good. I'll tell you, for those of us that said that prayer before, it never gets old, helping you in that prayer. I hold in my hand something I refer to almost every single week. It's called the Start Bible Kit. We'll have a slide behind me as well. For those that raised their hand a moment ago, first time getting saved or rededication, please pick one of these up in the back. It starts in the Gospel of John, one of those 66 books. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. It's all about Jesus coming onto the scene and the miracles that he performed and what he was about. So we encourage you to pick this up. There's a letter in there from me to you talking about your next steps. There's a connection card. Please, please, please pick this up. No questions asked. You will not be interrogated. You don't have to fill out a form. It's to help you on this new journey. Besides that, a few of us will be at the front here, myself included, if you need prayer for anything. And I just want to say this. I just felt it actually last week, but I want to say it this week. We have this stigma sometimes when it comes to prayer that only the people that have issues come down for prayer. I want you to know today that you can receive prayer for good things in your life. That if you're up for maybe you got a 360 review coming up, where not just they share things with you, but you share things with them. And so you want wisdom in that, but also you want that raise, amen? Like, we can pray with you about that. We'd love to do that. If you've got this big business meeting coming up or this big trip that's taking place, it's not just people who have issues, okay? Like, anything across the spectrum, we are here to agree with you in prayer. We love you. We support you. But besides that, you are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you next week.